You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard.
That's still me.
the Eeyore of the show.
Oh, bother.
Welcome to the show, brother. How you doing?
Doing good. Always fun to do these. I love doing the podcasts.
Yeah, me too. And I'm really excited about how everything's growing and getting better and bigger and more people are paying attention. So that always makes it extra kind of fun. Yep. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do stories about alien encounters, and we're going to cover a lot of ground on this. We found some really cool encounters and information about the alien and UFO phenomena. So we're going to get into that tonight right here on tonight's Paranormal Portal podcast. So diving right into it, Don, what would you think if you ever ran into an alien?
Well, first, after I cleaned up and stopped probably running, I've always kind of wondered, you know, because on Facebook, you see like these posts that say, you know, if you ever met these guys, what would be the first thing you'd ask them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what really would be, you know, mankind's first questions to an extraterrestrial entity, other than the only thing I could think of is, why are we here?
Sure. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the existential question of all of us. It's like, what's the reason for this? And I'd be asking, is this your fault?
Good. Yeah. That's a good one too. Yeah. Is this because of you? Yeah.
Did you do this? Did you make this happen? Cause you guys really screwed up. No.
You bunch of kidders.
No, it's curious though. I mean, it's something to consider. I mean, there are so many reports coming out about people meeting aliens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of them are pretty profound. Some of them are cool. And some of them are just really strange.
Yes. And
I want to cover some of the strange ones right off the bat. You ready for these?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So here we go. The first one says, I was sleeping in my room, which I like to keep as dark as possible. And I suddenly woke up to the sound of a loud pop, like a small firecracker. And I look out into the dark and think, oh, no. Was that an electrical outlet or my computer frying? Well, I look towards it, but I don't see anything, and I figure, well, it must have been nothing. So I rolled onto my back to go back to sleep, and I was really calm but pretty awake because of the little fire scare, and I took a deep breath to try to hush away a small bit of adrenaline, and just as I was about to close my eyes, I see a dark shadow above me. It seemed to be waving. And I kind of felt like it was just trying to get my attention. Well, it straightened away from me, and then it leaned and pressed down on the edge of my bed, closer to my head, and it did it two or three times, and I could very clearly feel the weight of it, and I got the feeling that he wanted to show me that. yes, I'm really here.
Hmm.
So it looks, this is how he describes it. It was outlined in light of many colors, but it was also very faint. There were greens, yellows, blues, reds, purples, kind of all swirled together simultaneously, mixed all together, yet very separate, and somehow the brightness, I could relate it to a glow-in-the-dark star sticker. Bright enough to see very clearly, but not so bright as to make me squint. And he said he looked a bit like a reptile, sort of akin to a raptor. That's kind of creepy. But with a larger, rounder skull, a strong brow ridge, and there were circle-type bunches all over his body, which I assumed were like scales or something. His face was turned so that I saw a clear profile, and it looked like he was wearing a loose, simple shirt of some kind, and he held something like a clipboard in one arm, and the other was held up to it, and as if he was writing or something. But what I was looking at directly, and what I remember most of all, was his eye. That large, unforgettable eye, circular pupil, that was open somewhat wide, lightly colored iris, almost cartoony in how simple it looked compared to the rest of him. I guess it felt so warm and personable, but it looked a little sad, like maybe a little stern, but some kind of alien research scientist, maybe. So that's pretty bizarre, huh?
Was it just one eye?
Well, apparently it kind of had its head sideways a little bit.
Oh,
like
okay.
Maybe it looks out the side of its head, you know, like a... Right. Like when you think of a lizard.
Maybe its eyes were, you know, farther apart than, say, ours, you know. So,
right.
You know, it's looking like a fly, you know. It's watching one thing, watching another thing all at the same time. That's crazy.
Yeah, or like a lizard that kind of has them on the both sides of his head.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's more like it. And she did reference, well, the person did reference, you know, a reptile, you know, type.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would make sense. Huh. Weird.
And just to randomly appear in somebody's bedroom, press down on their mattress and allegedly write on some kind of clipboard thing. That's pretty strange. And you got to wonder, what the hell was that?
You know? Yeah, I think that's a fair question.
but it doesn't sound like it was a scary experience. It was just a, well, this is weird kind of thing. Like the person doesn't, I mean, I don't know how they could not be afraid. But apparently the person was just kind of like, oh, there it is, floating above me, this big lizard eye thing.
This big lizard eye thing.
I don't know. You know, what would you do? I think I'd be, I mean, even though you'd like to think that you could be calm and rational, right. I think actually looking up and seeing something there, I'd be scraping my mattress after that. You
know? Yeah, I have to agree. I would have to agree.
I mean, I'd love to think that I'd be so brave and I'd handle it just well, but you know, I'd be like,
yeah, just give him the head nod and say, hey, what's up?
Hey, glad you stepped in.
Hey, all right, cool.
So that was
butt stuff tonight, right?
So is there, you lizard people, are you not into that butt stuff, are you?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
No. And ladies and gentlemen, that's only a reference to probing. Very strange encounter.
Wow. Okay. What's next?
All right. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen, we've got another one here. So this person says, when my mom and Lisa were teenagers, they were up on the roof of Lisa's house and they saw a bright light in the sky. And the next thing they know, the light is gone. Thing is, they think they've been on the roof for like 15 minutes, but something like 3 hours had passed. So a couple months later, mom moves away and loses contact with Lisa for about 10 years. Well, she finally meets up with her again and immediately notices that something seems odd about Lisa. Lisa appeared very distant to her with a very dreamy demeanor, like she was really happy and at peace for no good reason. Well, after they talk for a bit, Lisa brings up the incident on the roof. It says at first they paralyzed her somehow and did all sorts of invasive experiments on her, but by the most recent time they stopped probing her and began to talk with her. Apparently they told her all sorts of things, stuff about space, Earth itself, and most shockingly, predicted years beforehand that she would get pregnant in a specific year, and it would also be a stillborn, and that she would never be able to have children again. They also told her that it was not their fault, and they even made an attempt to save her from this fate, but they were unsuccessful. So, very strange. That was her recollection of that experience. So, the mom just, you know, suddenly they saw a light and it was gone, and 3 hours passed, but didn't have a memory of it. This other person, this Lisa, remembered in pretty specific detail what happened. Now, we don't know if that's the result of some kind of regression therapy or what, but very strange, huh?
Yeah, crazy. You know, and them predicting that she would be pregnant and it not being a full birth or, mm-hmm. you know, a full gestation period. Did they say she'd lose the baby, right?
Yeah, they said it'd be stillborn.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And it wasn't their fault. You know, anytime, you know, this happened, but it's not my fault. Yeah, okay. how can we be sure of that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a great point because, of course, we've heard so many reports of people becoming pregnant and then not being pregnant all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good point. Could they be just setting her up because she meets a genetic criteria? Hey, you're going to have a kid, but you're not really going to have a kid and it's not going to make it. And then you won't ever be able to have kids again.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I would love to think that these advanced beings would at least be honest, you know, because they can pretty much do, I guess, whatever they want, right? They're sophisticatedly, incredibly advanced. Their sophistication is well beyond our understanding as far as technicalities and technologies and such. I can't say technicalities, but technologies. they can do things that just we can't even comprehend, right. You know? So, I mean, if they wanted to do something, they could, but the fact that they'd bothered to explain it, you know, it makes me at least believe, well, maybe that is true because they don't have to, explain anything.
That's true.
You know? So maybe that's a good sign that they explained it to her. And I assume that those events did indeed happen. What do you think?
Makes them it just makes it creepier.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Strange world we're living in, Don. Strange world. So, I got another one here. Are you ready to hear this one, Don?
Go for it.
All right. Woo-hoo! So, this one says, I find myself waking up to the oddest buzzing sound. It was really distinct and had a sort of percussive rhythm to it, kind of like when your ears pop, but repetitive, so it was really uncomfortable. As I start to wipe away the sleep from my eyes, I realize I'm already sitting up and all the lights are on in the surrounding rooms and the TV has turned to white noise. I look around the room and start to get a really uneasy feeling that I'm being watched. I just kind of shrug it off and start to get up to go to the bathroom. It's not the words they use, but it's the ones I'm using. And turn the lights off. And as soon as I stand up, I feel a really cold hand wrap around my throat. It then picks me up and slams me back down on the couch. I start to freak because I don't see anything there. And whatever it is must be massive because the hand wrapped around my entire neck. I can feel its digits meeting at the back of my neck. So I go to stand up again, and once again it wraps its hand around my throat and pins me down to the couch, holding me there for a few seconds.
Ooh.
I start to think, should I fight back or scream, or what should I do? And almost as quickly as the thoughts enter my head, I hear a voice saying, don't touch it. It will leave you if you don't touch it. So I put my hands up, relax myself, and the hand let go. Wow. So that was somebody's experience.
Wow.
Nothing visible, nothing visibly tangible, but it had a physicality to it. He could feel the hand, feel the fingers wrapping around his whole neck. So if you make a closing your fingers to your thumb, that's a big hand.
That's a giant hand.
I don't know. What do you think of that?
That'd be absolutely scary, you know, getting up and then being slammed back down twice. And, You know, but what was it that told the person to just not touch it, to not, you know, what was that? So was there two entities there? Odd, very odd.
Right. But you're right. It does. I mean, it clearly sounds like there's more than one. There's one allegedly brutish one, and then there's the intelligent one. And you, it sounds like the intelligent one is kind of in control of the situation.
How weird is that?
I mean, the fact that you couldn't see it already is weird. I would be thinking ghost. Right. I don't know how this person came to it being, you know, UFO-y, alien-y, but, you know, I don't know. Very, very strange.
Maybe they don't believe in ghosts.
that could be, you know, that's a good point. And as we're going through these stories, I keep seeing that bleed through between the two types of phenomena, because, you know, it's hard sometimes to differentiate, and how the people that experience these things came to the idea that it is extraterrestrial or alien rather than spirit. And you could be right. It could be just that they don't really acknowledge the idea of spirits, but they can acknowledge the idea of UFOs. So that's what it becomes. That's a good point. Very good point. All right. So I have another one. This one has to do with the Men in Black. So, which the reason I'm chuckling, ladies and gentlemen, is Don and I have done a lot of shows together. We've done a lot of shows. And I'm here to tell you that we've had a lot of problems when we do Men in Black shows. Like, a lot of problems, including getting knocked off the air and having one of the most bizarre broadcasting things ever happen to us on a live broadcast when we were doing our internet radio show. And I don't know if it's necessarily related or not, but it's pretty freaking coincidental.
It's pretty odd. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, all right, let me read this story, though, and this has to do with the Men in Black. And to any Men in Black out there, we mean you no harm. So my dad was in his teens. He's out in his driveway for whatever reason, doing whatever people do when they live in a woodsy rural area. Suddenly, this big black car pulls into his driveway. Tinted windows, completely black. My dad just kind of watches it pull in, not sure what to think. Well, the door opens and out steps a super tall, fair-faced white guy. His blonde hair, an extremely well-tailored black suit, black sunglasses on. And right away, my dad could see there was something off about him. He just looked too perfect. Flawless skin, a childlike smile, and very overdressed for a hot summer day. He looks distinctly out of place. The man walks up to my dad and asks for his name, and my dad, around 15 at the time, asks him why he wants to know, and the man smiles and explains that he just wants to ask him a few questions, and he doesn't mean any harm. Bemused, my dad agrees, but he's still really wary of this strange guy. First, the tall white dude asks my dad if he lives here. The man has a completely relaxed, non-confrontational tone, and seems almost giddy, like he was really excited to be having this conversation. His childish, overzealous grin hadn't faded in the least, and he asked my dad if he had seen, felt, or heard anything that he felt was outside of the ordinary. My dad said, "Sometimes," and again asked why he wanted to know. The man just kept grinning, and by now my dad was feeling pretty comfortable. He'd never seen this guy before in his life, and he didn't appear to be any kind of government agent. His behavior was far too unusual. Suddenly, the man's demeanor completely changes. His grin disappears, and he looks worried. Without so much as a goodbye, he opens his car door, gets inside, and drives away, still making no noise at all. Wow. Apparently, the mom saw the same guy 30 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But we don't have that encounter. I don't know her side of what she experienced. It's just a sub note here on the encounter, but wow. How's that for pretty intense?
It would be nice to have that second encounter. But what does he mean that there was no noise? Was the man making no noise, or was the car making no noise, or like was it a cone of silence? You know, what kind of?
That's a good question. It's just said it was completely silent as it left, like maybe no engine noise. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Very strange stuff, right?
Well, you know, anytime you talk about Men in Black, there's always something strange going on with them. And I find this one, because he was so fair complected, you know, and that's the first time I've heard of a light-skinned blue, you know, or light-skinned, you know, blonde, you know, usually they're, you know, they're dark, you know, so, you know, they've got dark hair, dark eyes, you know, dark complexion, you know, so, well, darker, not like, you know, anyhow, but yeah, so that's the first one, unless, you know, we've heard those stories about Watchers. Sure. Which are usually fair-skinned, but usually they're bald. They like they have like alopecia, where they have no hair whatsoever.
Right.
You know, no eyelashes, no hair, no nothing. Mm-hmm. So, and they're usually fair-skinned as well. So,
that's a good point. I don't know, man, but whatever these things are, and you know, you got to wonder, is it a government agency? Is it some cooperational agency with extraterrestrial intelligences and a government? And I don't know. I don't know what the hell they are, but, you know, people have these encounters and, they swear by them. I mean, it's not the people that come forward are generally, you know, believed to be in good mental health. You know, I mean, it's not, people are just, fantasizing or whatever. It's,
right.
These people are genuinely seem to have these encounters, and they seem like the one common thread with Men in Black stories is that there does seem to be like an almost altered reality at the time. So you have to wonder, is it truly a physical thing or is it just a projection or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Very strange. But I got another one.
Okay.
All right. So this one has to do with a Colorado sighting. And it says, in 1997, Colorado Springs, Colorado. I was 8 years old playing in the sand volleyball court, but decided that I needed to look up because the world around me had just lost all its sound. This sounds very familiar. We've at least discussed stories like this before, but there was no longer any ambient noise, no traffic noise from the busy streets, just a block over, and no more dogs barking, no more birds chirping. I looked at the street that bordered the park, and that is when I saw it. It looked like a stealth bomber turned sideways, nose leading, one wing down towards the road and the other pointed up at the sky, completely shiny black in color. As tall as a house, shaped like an arrowhead, it was cruising the street at 3 miles an hour, just gliding over the road, and I watched it for maybe 20 seconds. And as soon as it had passed behind some two-story houses and out of sight, I got my hearing back in full force. Now, that's one you have read, right?
I think that's one we have come across before. I don't remember if I read it or if we reread it, but I know we've come across that one before because I think I made a mention of Art Bell because he when he first saw what he thought was a TR-3B, there was no noise whatsoever, and it was only, I think he said it was less than 500 feet above him.
Uh-huh.
I think that's right. But he said there was absolutely no noise. He couldn't hear anything. Him and his wife at the time, I think it was Ramona, they were heading back to Pahrump from Vegas, and this happened. So, yeah, interesting. And, but that's a common theme with the TR-3Bs, though, mm-hmm. is the noiselessness and, like, the cone of silence, you know, when they appear, they have to this. They just have this sound dampening technology. It seems like
that's
weird.
It is really weird. And what I would like to say about that, though, Don, is that I wonder if because of the advanced propulsion, which I assume, and I've heard referenced, has to do with an electromagnetic field that seems to, you know, allow it to float without having to worry about aerodynamics. Creating some kind of field around the craft, if that same field also negates the sound that would escape from the engines.
Right.
you know, and would also encompass an area around it, like create a field of no noise, just that electromagnetic flux or whatever. And right. I don't know if it's electromagnetic in nature, but you're right. You know, when things go silent, even we've covered stories where people have tried to speak, but nothing came out.
Right.
You know, like they weren't making any noise, even though they know they were like doing what they do to speak. So it does seem to have some kind of field effect on everything around it for, you know, a specific or at least a considerable area around the craft.
Right. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
strange. I don't know. But if that is a repeat again, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize. That's never our intention to regurgitate the same material over and over for different shows. But it sometimes happens by accident. So that may be one of them. This one has to do with kind of an altered state. So so basically, I think they've been, this has to do with some marijuana experience. So, yeah, I mean, which is fine. I mean, people can do what they want. I'm not judging anybody, but this is what it says. We rolled the windows down just as we did. A bright floodlight lit up, and we quickly talked it over and decided our best option would be for Greg and I to get out of the truck and run separate directions while Andrew drove away. So they thought they were getting busted. On the count of three, me and Greg jumped out and ran in opposite directions, but as soon as I stepped foot on the ground, the light turned off and became pitch black. But I didn't stop running. I walked for about 30 minutes until I began to hear a loud sound. The sound became unbearably loud, and I put my hands over my ears, but only got louder. A sharp ringing notice rang out, and I began to get tunnel vision. I couldn't stand up anymore and passed out. When I woke up, I was in a pitch black room. A soft, kind sounding voice spoke. "That's very good," the voice said. "Sit down. Stand up. Stay in line. No more rules." His kind and soft voice turned loud and angry. "You can't understand. You just can't." I couldn't move from the table I was lying on, but I wasn't strapped down by anything. I turned my head to the right and saw a white glowing circle. And when I looked to the left, I saw a face. No body, no head, only a face. He spoke one final time. This time, I'm sure that it was directly to me. "I am the creator. You are the creation. Don't be afraid. Be aware." He spoke all of this without even moving his mouth. The lights came back on and I passed out again. I tried my best to stay awake, but I just couldn't. When I woke up, I was lying in an open field. The sun was just coming up. What? That's pretty bizarre. I don't know what to make of that one, Don. That could have been just really powerful weed going on there.
Wow.
What do you think?
I don't know. That's for a second there, it started reminding me of the Back to the Future movie, George McFly.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm Darth Vader. Yeah.
It's got a hazmat suit on. Yeah.
Yeah. That was crazy. You know, but it gave me that kind of vibe. It's like kind of this surreal kind of vibe. Like, but you know, honestly, it, you know, if they start the story out with, well, we thought we were going to get busted, or actions that act, you know, that emulate that, then I'm not off my meds. You know, that's another famous one too. Is I've been taking my meds like I'm supposed to, right. You know. So, you know, it really throws kind of a monkey wrench in the believability. But, you know, that's making assumptions. If they were just getting into whatever it was, but it's just weird. Just weird.
It is just weird.
Just passing out 30 minutes later, you know, high-pitched squeal. Well, you know, where was that story? Does it say where they were?
Let me see. No, there's no indication of where. So, no idea.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if it was like near like an airbase, like for instance, Area 51 or Dugway, or you know, Wright-Patterson, you know, something like that.
Oh, sure.
you know, because it was, if it was like out in the boonies around one of those, then, you know, anything could happen. You know, it could be, let's get conspiratorial for a minute, you know, sonic weapons, you know, that could explain the squealing and the tunnel vision and then the passing out. So interesting. But where did they get those weapons?
Yep. I don't know. All right. But ladies and gentlemen, now is a good time to take a break. So we're going to do just that. Don't go away for more of these crazy, unbelievable stories of encounters with extraterrestrials. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, we are back, and we are back at it. I hope you are enjoying this journey so far, but I know I am. I don't even have to wonder or hope. Don, you having fun?
Yeah, always. Absolutely.
Well, good, because I got some more of this fodder for us to throw around.
You got some more of that fodder?
I got some more fodder. All right. Let's get into this batch of fodder. Now, this one has... It sounds like it has to do with probes, but I guess you got to go there. If you're going to talk about extraterrestrial encounters, you're bound to run into a probe or two. It's just part of it. And it's, I don't know. I don't mean to laugh, because I think for the people that have experienced it, it's probably incredibly traumatic, but it's just one of those things that I guess makes me so uncomfortable that the only thing I can do is snicker, because I don't know what to do with that. You know, I mean, if they've done it once and they're as advanced as they are supposed to be, what do you suppose they're gleaning new information from doing it over and over and over? It's just, it sounds like a little bit of a kink going on there up in the saucers. I don't know. You know what I mean? It just, like,
I don't know. I don't want to know what you mean.
why are they repeating it? It's like, you know, essentially we have a similar biology between one person and a few billion others of them, you know, and the only thing you're going to find, you know, you all know where I'm going.
Yes.
I don't know if they're expecting to, you know, find treasure in one of them. Is like, you know, it's just all the same deal. But anyway, continuing on, I'm not sure what the hell I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, but I got a microphone and you get to hear all the weirdness that goes through my head. So let's see what this one says. It says, there's some mud pools in this place. Oh, you know what? This is one of them I read ahead of time. So it has nothing to do with traditional alien probing. So anyway, there's some mud pools in this place called...
What is traditional alien probing?
Well, it usually requires an abduction first, and then a weird table and an odd room with a spotlight and a few grays sprinkled around for, you know.
Oh, goodness.
So let's just read the story.
Okay.
So there are some mud pools in this place called Baños Morales, and I went out there with my ex, and we were taking a bath at 3 a.m. because... it was some sort of a wild experience, and we were alone. I can confirm this because I closed the gate that could let anyone else enter the pools. So here we are, naked, bathing, playing with each other in the middle of the night when we see this guy staring at us. He would be about 30s, quite white and quiet. Sorry, I kind of stumbled on that. So we honestly freaked out. I, as the man of the situation, in order to calm my ex, pretended to be calm. But in my inner state, I was frightened. I said, what's up? Staring back at him, and he just smiled, waved a hello with his arm. And I thought immediately that we were jumping to conclusions. He couldn't be an alien, but he was in front of our eyes, and he said, it's all right. I've seen all I wanted to see. And then he started to disappear, fading like an image. And apparently this happened in Cajon del Maipo, or Maipo, M-A-I-P-O. So apparently that area is well known for its UFO sightings. Pretty crazy.
Yep.
So all they were there, I mean, I guess you can't judge a book by its cover, and I can't judge a story by its title. So there you have it.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Now, Don, you've heard many, many stories of people dealing with things like implants, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Where basically the aliens are making people into smart meters or something. I'm not sure what's going on there, but they seem to be able to keep track of people by virtue of these little micro implants. Sure. That seem to be. And the ones that have been examined, and I think it's the Lear guy, right? That Dr. Lear?
Roger Lear, yeah.
Yeah, that has done a lot of removals and examined them and had them tested. And are some of the materials not from this world, right?
Yeah, there are quite a few constituents of those that have been determined not of the terrestrial plane, shall we say. Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that I've heard, just as a side note, I've heard, like, you know, there's always debunkers. There's people that try to dismiss these things. Right. And one of the explanations I've heard is that people are being hit with micrometeorites.
Yeah. How absurd is that? It's like, yeah, I didn't notice a meteorite piercing my skin.
Leaving no scar and piercing my skin. Becoming embedded into the tissue with no rejection whatsoever.
Right.
So that's a pretty phenomenal occurrence anyway, but you know, it's just the ridiculousness. And the reason that I bring this up is the next story is about implants. So let's see what it has to say. I've seen a couple of weird lights and occasionally, but I have no recollection of being abducted. But when I was 12 or so, I felt something hard and round in my earlobe. I told everyone, and they said it was just a under-the-skin zit, probably normal for someone my age, but it was there for 6 months. Annoyed, I decided to do some self-surgery, which we at the portal do not recommend, ladies and gentlemen, just as a disclaimer. I could feel it very near the surface and poked a hole in my ear with a sterilized needle. Blood squirted everywhere, but I could feel this thing, and I squeezed up towards the hole I just pierced, and out pops this tiny metal ball, maybe half the size of a BB. It was black metal, completely spherical, with an indentation around the center, and like a teeny golf ball-like indentations. As I was rolling it around in my blood-covered pictures, it slipped, spun around the sink a couple of times and fell down the drain. At 12, I had no idea what the hell to do with it, and my parents didn't believe a word I said and told me to just put some tea tree oil on my zits next time.
Oh, goodness.
I've never had anything like it since. So apparently they didn't come back and re-tag him, or they put it somewhere he wouldn't want to cut it out or something. I don't know.
Wow.
So yeah, apparently he pulled this little BB out of his earlobe, was checking it out, and it ended up going down the drain. But what a weird thing, huh?
Well, you know, it just figures that it went down the drain. Now,
sure,
you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. Now, a BB is usually about 6 millimeters.
Okay.
So half of that would be, you know, 3 millimeters, and that's still a pretty good size, you know, mm-hmm. especially if it's like embedded in your earlobe. Now, yeah, no self-surgery. That's no, don't do that. It was just her earlobe though, or the person's earlobe though. So maybe not such a big deal, but, you know, it's just unfortunate that we always inevitably something like this pops up and they lose it, or it just magically disappears, you know, or it evaporates and turns to dust. You know, it's like, why? It just seems convenient. But that's interesting though, because, you know, it was in the earlobe, you know, and behind the ears is a pretty popular spot, around the ankles. Of course I have that bump just on, you know, the back of my heel. Uh-huh. But I don't think I was, I don't think I'm an abductee. I have no.
Which is not uncommon, if I might add, Don.
Well, that's true. That's true. How would you know unless something screwed up? You know, maybe I'm one of those lucky few that get to not remember the, you know, not remember it. But yeah, so, but that's pretty typical around the ears. I don't know about the earlobe itself, but that wouldn't be far-fetched right there.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It is a strange story. Now, I guess I don't disbelieve it for the most part. I mean, it's possible. Again, based upon Dr. Lear's work and things that I've read and come across in all my journeys into the paranormal, right. People are pulling weird stuff out of themselves. Usually they have a doctor do it, and that's one of the things that Dr. Lear excels at and has quite a collection, I believe, of these things, doesn't he?
Well, it's passed on now because he's passed on. But
okay. I didn't know.
You know,
that.
there's actually a documentary on, I think, well, either Netflix or Prime called Patient 17. Oh. And it follows around one of his one of the people that he had removed some things from. Mm-hmm. And how some of the things, some of the elements in it, some of the, you know, constituent parts were not of Earth, mm-hmm. you know, so, but yeah, I think they even mentioned micrometeorites in that as well, but that just makes no sense. None whatsoever.
It's such a ridiculous explanation. And you know, we've talked about it, of course, many times on the show, the veracity that people will defend their paradigm, that they will create a mundane narrative that is more fantastic than actually just saying, hey, it's aliens, you know? I mean, some of the explanations they come up with are so incredibly bizarre and beyond even comprehension. And mm-hmm. and yet that to them is safer than just going, hey, maybe there's people getting abducted and getting tagged.
Right.
You know? I don't know. I don't understand that. And we see it in the ghost, you know, people having experiences with ghosts, which is harder to defend. I mean, when you're pulling out an implant and have a tangible piece, that's awesome because that is evidence and it's empirical evidence. It's been tested. It's been shown that many of the elemental properties are not of this world. Then it has to be from out there, from somewhere. Yeah. But to say that, well, it's probably just micrometeorites crashing into people, becoming embedded just under the skin. So it's like if it comes embedded, it would be like maybe by your spine or something, you know?
Yeah. And how do they find these only in like certain areas? I mean, it's not like they found it. Oh, it was in the back of my hand or, mm-hmm. you know, it was in my eyelid or, you know, the top of my, you know, scalp, you know?
Right. Very good points. Yep. Lots of strangeness going on. Now, I know you had some items that you wanted to share tonight's show too. So by all means, sir.
Yeah, you know, so I was looking through and I was looking for alien, weird alien stuff. And so I found this one article in the Independent under News and Science. It says, alien found after UFO sighting appears to be a deer fetus picture from before California test missile launch.
Ooh.
And it says, the horrifying photograph has been widely shared online as evidence of extraterrestrial visitors. But none of it appears as it claims. And there is a picture of something rather disturbing. So interesting. It says a photograph that's being widely shared online as evidence of alien visitors appears to depict a deer fetus. Numerous wildly popular Facebook posts have tied the picture, apparently, of an alien that dropped onto the ground outside of someone's house to strange events over the skies in California over the weekend. But the picture doesn't show an alien, wasn't taken in San Jose as claimed, and was first uploaded before the event.
Oh. Ooh.
Somebody okay. wanted to create a sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead, the picture is most likely. Oh, okay. So it they say definitively it is a deer fetus, but then they go on and say this. Instead, the picture is most likely depicts a fetus dropped by a deer after it was likely startled and which was partially consumed by predators, as it is underdeveloped and partly destroyed, giving it a strange look. Despite the more earthly explanation, the picture is widely shared. The original Facebook post and subsequent email claims that the image is still unexplained. The picture is being shared by some people in an email, according to fact-checking website Snopes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Was that out loud, or was I just thinking that?
No. It was very out loud right okay. after my little puck. So it seems this is going viral on Facebook. They are talking about a missile launch and consequent lights, then stating they heard screaming and found this alien or animal, the email reads, followed by a picture of the find. In Southern California, everybody noticed a bright, weird light. The government tried to tell everybody it's the testing of a missile launching. And now people in San Jose, California are seeing dead aliens laying around and Facebook deleting it every time somebody mentions it. Claim that Facebook is deleting mentions of any alien fetus are false. The pictures are being widely shared across the social network. By the original post of the photos, have been deleted. The images were posted soon after people spotted a strange light streaking across the California sky over the weekend. Many were confused by the sight, arguing that strange movements could have been indication of a UFO, but the U.S. Navy later claimed that it was a Trident missile that was spotted during a test. The pictures do, however, seem to have come from earlier in November and appeared to have originally been taken in Missouri. So there you go. Query for California. If you're going to Google for it, Google alien found after missile test. California. There you go. You can find it there. It is, like I said before, we talked about this a little before the show, but I've never seen an animal lay on its back, not like the four-legged type, like a deer or a cow, not just lay on its back. And that's what it looks like in this picture, that it's laying on its back. And if it was partial birth and then died because the mother got spooked and it was able to come back and get it. I don't think it'd be laying on its back.
Yeah, so. It's hard to know. But again, they did say that it looked like predators had already gotten a hold of it. So they may have moved it or, in their course of chewing on it.
That's true. But I still don't see how it'd be on its back. Yeah. Aside, yes. But I liked how they went back and said, instead, it's more likely that it is.
Mm.
Most likely depicts a fetus dropped by a deer. So interesting. There's always that proviso in there, isn't there?
Yeah. Seems like it. Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Well, I have one more. Why don't you share your other thing? And then I guess we're going to be about out of time. So,
yeah, well, that depends on how much time you think we got. But let's do this. This is about crop circles. Crop circles blur science, paranormal, and X-Files culture. It says crop circles are some of the most beautiful, mysterious, and controversial landscape phenomena in the contemporary world. They were found around the globe, appearing in countries with large areas of agricultural land. They are also central to a shift in culture with investigative approaches that mimic science and increasingly make the paranormal mainstream. Unlike UFOs, ghosts, and Sasquatches, crop circles are tangible. People can touch and walk into them. At least 30 appeared in England last summer. Now, this was last summer would have been 2016.
Wow.
In British Columbia, crop circle formations appeared in Vanderhoof, about 100 kilometers west of Prince George in 1998, and in 2001. Crop circles and what people do with them represent one aspect of this person's ongoing research, which explores the recent growth of belief, practices, and experiences related to the paranormal. His fieldwork studies investigative paranormal groups in the Vancouver area, blah, blah, blah.
Did it say blah, blah, blah? That's weird.
No. I don't say blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Dumb movie. You know, this story isn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. I read the first parts of it. Oh, rationality conflicts with crop circles mystery. Okay, let's go here. Crop circle research, or serenology, C-E-R-E-O-L-O-G-Y, serenology, exemplifies the tension between the extraordinary and ordinary. No matter what one understands to be the cause of crop circles, whether they're human-made or involve aquifers, ley lines, divine feminine energy, ancient sacred sites, ball lightning, or UFOs, crop circles bring to the fore a mysterious connection between language and the visible, as described by Jean-Francois Letord, his book Discourse. Oh, I'm sorry, it's called Discourse. The French philosopher argues that there is an unstable relationship between linguistic meaning and the unit of signification. That is, the visible patterns of the world, dreams, symbols, and visual art. Because there's no inherent meaning in any given signifier, meaning always relies on another word or a wider context, and art and symbols and conceptual opaque by default. So that's interesting, but without really getting into that whole art thing, I think we're going to close that down and just simply say, you know, we need to do a show sometime about crop circles, and I'm going to have to do some more research, but this sounds like something I need to look into. But, you know, they talk about crop circles and how, you know, it can be two people with, you know, boards and ropes and stomping down, you know, the whatever it is, the grass, right, the wheat, the corn, whatever it is. But when you're talking about grass and wheat and things like that, they're talking about exploded nodes that, you know, basically the water boils inside these nodes of the different grasses and such and explode. Also, they talk about when it's a real crop circle, air quotes, real crop circle, mm-hmm. You know, the stalks are bent, not broken, but with a board and rope, they would be broken. They'd be broken, you know, pushed over and broken, sure, as opposed to leaned over. Also, they've also found, what are they called? When radiation cooks.
Geiger counter?
No. When radiation cooks the ground and the dirt turns into glass, micro orbs.
Oh, right. Yep.
They also find those. So yep. Now, in a quote, real, you know, that's what they find in a quote, real crop circle, or at least have. And yeah, Geiger counters just go nuts when they're around real, quote unquote, real ones. So, yeah.
That was my point. That is, you know, it's so much higher than what would be normal background radiation. So it definitely would imply that something extraordinary happened with all of those factors combined, and the complexity. Yes. Of these designs, it would take people days.
Hours.
It's incredible. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our journey into some weirdness surrounding the UFO extraterrestrial phenomena. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. I hope you had a good time, and I hope you left maybe a little educated, but a lot entertained. But we will always be back. Definitely tune in for this Friday's episode. We got Mr. Wes Germer joining us from Sasquatch Chronicles. He's joining us on the portal, and we get a chance to interview him, and it's a great show, and I hope you guys will tune in and check it out. But Don, anything in closing?
Nope. Just don't miss Mr. Wes Germer. That's going to be a good one. And just thank you all.
All right. Well, we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, and find us on YouTube as well. Subscribe and like the videos there. That is youtube.com/paranormalportal. And we do live YouTube shows, streaming live YouTube shows every night of the week, 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we'd love to see you there and get involved in our journey on YouTube as well. But make sure to spread the word about the portal. Let people know about the portal. If you know a bunch of people that love the paranormal, tell them about the portal. And I guess that's it for us tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of our shows and being a part of the Paranormal Portal family. And we'll be back 3 times a week. There's always a new podcast coming. So thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.